Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Well, no sound. You there yet? Nope. Sound? Hello? Hello? Any sound? All right. Well, that's not going to work well for the online, but maybe I can at least, we're going to switch.
No, just leave that on.
All right, great.
Clip this right on here.
No presentation works without a technical difficulty. Hopefully that suffices for the crashing demo, all right? All right, so thank you. So we started the morning with Soma talking a little about some important changes in sort of the industry. First, the sort of trend of consumerization of IT, let me spit that out, and sort of the changing expectations that people have about the kind of applications, they're available, you know, when they want them, where they want them, having consumer-type experiences no matter where they go and no matter what, you know, what data they're accessing. Further, he talked about the increasing needs of business agility. Look, the rate of change of business and technology just keeps speeding up. Like every year, it's faster. And we as developers need to figure out how to keep up. So Jason then showed you sort of what we think modern apps look like and what the modern app development looks like. To go along with your modern apps, you also need to figure out how to deliver those apps agilely, quickly and responsibly to your customers' needs. So along with your modern app, you need a modern app lifecycle that's going to enable you to do that. So there are a few activities that we've sort of identified are key to the modern app lifecycle. First is feedback. You need to be able to be constantly plugged into your customer, getting feedback about what they're using, what they like, and that's helped you make sure you're building the right thing. You also need to think about continuous quality. You can no longer afford to build up debt, right? You can't, debt is a chain around your ability to be agile. You need to keep your quality high the entire time so that as the requirements change or the customer needs change, you're able to adapt quickly and not have to deal with a ball and chain of debt you're dragging behind you. And thirdly, of course, once you build the app, you got to get it in your customers' hands. And you can't get feedback from anybody until they've got it. So sort of streamlining, smoothing out that ability to get your app into your customers' hands and start that feedback cycle is incredibly important. So a modern app is an app that's continuously improving. Every day, every week, every month, it's getting better. So to do that, you've got to look at the various activities, and you need to rethink all the activities that you do. Whether it's the definition, sort of deciding what it is you're going to build, whether it's a new idea that you have or it's some feedback that you've gotten, you need to rethink how you're doing that. You need to rethink how you're developing to streamline that process, to get out smaller chunks of value more quickly and get feedback on it. And then you need to think about how you deliver and operate that, because if you're not doing that quickly and agilely, you're not able to keep that loop going. You know, as I think about, you know, we've been delivering Team Foundation service now for the last year or so, and we're now on a three-week cadence to deliver. Every 3 weeks, we deliver new value. And when I sort of reflect back a year ago, that's something that would have been impossible for us. But we've gone sort of through this transition of rethinking how we do everything, every phase, and it now enables us to deliver value incredibly reactive or responsively incredibly quickly. So the life cycle, of course, involves a lot of activities. But the modern life cycle, you know, or I should say sort of the old life cycle, was defined by kind of our waterfall process of, you know, I'd spend a bunch of time defining my product, and then I'd go build it, and then I'd do a bunch of testing, and then I'd deploy it and operate it. But, you know, the modern life cycle is really about breaking that down into a series of iterations, and then figuring out how to get through those iterations as fast as possible. So instead of months or years, your whole cycle from idea to implementation to deployment to feedback is a day, a week, a few weeks. Depends a little bit on your business, but it's fundamentally defined by getting through that cycle quickly. So as we set out to build Visual Studio 2012, and we were sort of looking at these trends in the industry and what it meant for developers, we started looking at, if we're going to help developers get through this cycle really fast, let's really look at what are the impediments. What's the friction points in that cycle that slow people down? So first place we started looking is in product definition. So you've got an idea, and you need to refine that idea. How do we help you with that? Well, kind of the number one problem is you know, we'll call misunderstood requirements, which is, hey, if you don't know what people want, you're heading in the wrong direction and you ain't ever going to get there. So that's the first part, is make sure we understand what our customers want. And the second is conflicting priorities. Look, every customer's eyes are bigger than their development team's stomachs. That's by definition. So if you just get the list of requirements, it's going to be a book. It's going to be, a compendium of ideas that somebody has. So the most important thing is figuring out how to prioritize those things and make sure that you get the most important things first. So I'm going to invite Nicole to come up on stage, and she's going to walk us through some of the great stuff we've done in Visual Studio 2012 to help with this.
Thanks, Nicole. Brian. So in the previous session, can you hear me now? Should I try? Great. Okay, in the previous session, we saw Orville show some really cool My Events applications. But Brian Harry, our business stakeholder, has feedback on how we could improve the web application. Wouldn't it be great if we could mock up those changes before we go into development to ensure what we build aligns with the business stakeholders' needs? Well, with Visual Studio 2012, we can now do that with the PowerPoint storyboarding tool. PowerPoint storyboarding is an add-in for PowerPoint, and it's a great tool to quickly just create mock-ups. And what's great is that PowerPoint just has capabilities like animations and layouts and controls right here. So now you can see a mock-up of that My Events web app that Brian would like us to make some changes to. He specifically would like us to add dates for all the upcoming events. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go in and start making some changes to that mock-up. I'm going to go into the rich shapes library where we have shapes for web, Windows, phone, and SharePoint applications. I can quickly find some shapes that work for my layout. And I can drag and drop them. You can also go onto VS Gallery, and there's a lot of community-created shapes that you can take advantage of. I just heard today that the iOS shapes will be available, so these will continue to become available over time. So I can continue to edit that, and I'll now have my final mock-up of that web page. I would then like to share it with Brian to get his feedback to ensure it aligns with his requirements. What's great about these storyboards is that they're all just in PowerPoint. So anyone who has PowerPoint can easily review them, can edit them, you know, even if they're not very technical, like Brian. Okay. So we know Brian's quite technical, but he's seen these storyboards numerous times, so I'm sure he's going to agree with the approach. So now let's move forward with planning the development with our Agile planning tools. So now I'm in the web access view of Team Foundation Server 2012. This is a great at-a-glance view of all the information that my project team wants to stay on top of. Each of these tiles can be easily customized based on queries that my team cares about, such as backlog items, bugs, information about our latest build. But I'm going to go into the backlog section so that I can add that change request that Brian wants me to focus on. Here you're seeing a prioritized view of all of our upcoming work. It's very easy for me to come in here and add an additional item. As you can see, it just falls to the top of that priority list. I can come in and I can drag and drop it to lower in the list if it's not high priority. But clearly we know Brian wants this work done urgently, so I'll keep it at the top. I can also go in there and I can add additional information about that backlog item. I can even link to that storyboard that we just created that Brian signed off on to ensure that the developer who's working on these changes will know exactly what Brian needed for this change request. I also like to use this view for sprint planning. Now I can see what work will get completed for each sprint based on the velocity that my team is working on. Now, Brian has been very clear we must get this change request in as soon as possible. So I'm going to just take this item into our current sprint, even though this is not a recommended practice, and I can start go ahead and do some additional planning. So now I can see a list of all the backlog items in my current sprint. I now have the ability to break it down into individual tasks. So I'm going to break down my change request into a task. Now I'm going to provide some more detail. For example, I'm going to have Brian Keller, a developer on my team, do about 4 hours of work on this project. As you notice, we have a lot of Brians on our launch today. And now you're looking, Brian Keller is overcommitted for this sprint. I need to take action to reduce his workload, so I'm going to find a lower priority work item and move it to a future sprint. So I'm just going to drag and drop it. And now you're going to see that Brian is no longer overcommitted and the team is happy. So what I've been able to highlight is how we can adjust our plans as priorities change. Now I've got a plan in place, including that change request for Brian, and I need to move forward with tracking our progress against that plan. So now I'm going to go into the task board. The task board is kind of a modern-day implementation of Post-it notes on a whiteboard. I can easily come in here and drag and drop as I move forward with my progress of my tasks. This I can do with a mouse click, or I could do it all touch-enabled if I have the appropriate screens. I heard that Brian is now out of office sick, so I'm going to have to take over this task so we get this work done quickly. And I can also have different views. For example, I may want to look at each of these tasks by individual on the team. This is a great view for me to bring into my daily stand-ups, so each team member can walk through their tasks and provide updates on their work. If you look at the upper right-hand corner, you can see the burndown chart. As work gets completed, that burndown chart gets updated real time. This is another view that I like to share with Brian, so he can always see how the team is progressing relative to our upcoming milestones. So in this session, I've been able to show you how we've been able to get Brian's feedback early and often in the development process by taking advantage of tools like storyboarding to ensure what we build aligns with Brian's requirements. In addition, I've used the Agile planning tools to make sure that the work we're prioritizing aligns with Brian's requirements, in addition to giving him status of our work.
Thanks, Nicole. I appreciate it. Don't go anywhere. We've got plenty more to show. So I got to say, that's awesome. I feel super connected. I know what you're going to build. I know kind of how you're thinking about it, how you've broken the work down, when you expect to deliver it. That's awesome. I feel like I'm part of the process. So, okay, great. We know what we're going to build. We feel like we're on the same page, and now we got to go build it. So what are the impediments there? What are the friction? We got to make the development go, you know, just as much faster as anything else. So again, as we sort of approached Visual Studio 2012, we asked, what are the impediments? What can we do to make the development phase go even faster? So first we identified was loss of focus. So how many of you have ever been deep buried inside some debugging problem and, you know, your mind is totally into it and somebody walks into your office and says, hey, I got this really important bug that's got to get fixed right now? Or, hey, could you do a design review for me on this stuff? I need some help. And you just know you've lost it. Like, that's it. It's going to take you half an hour to get back into that when you finally get back to it. What if we could make that a lot easier? What if we could make those, and we can't make interruptions go away, but what if we could make them a whole lot easier to deal with and get back into that zone and get back into your work? So the second, as I mentioned, to maintain that agility, to achieve the kind of agility you need, you've got to keep quality an important part of the process along the way. Quality cannot be an afterthought. So you need to make quality the developer's problem, and you need to integrate it into their daily workflow. And third is unmet user expectations. So hey, you know, Nicole and I have a pretty good understanding now of what we think we're going to build, but you know, once I've seen it, I might have changed my mind. I'm like, oh, well, I thought that was going to be what I want, but it turns out it's not. Now that I've seen it, I don't like it. Well, if I don't get to see it for 3 months or 6 months, What's that going to mean? That's going to mean you've wasted a lot of your development time, because now you got to go back to something you did 2 months ago and redo it because your stakeholders decided they don't like it. So what if we could address these problems and make your life, you know, that much more productive? And I'll turn it back over to Nicole, and she's going to walk us through some of the improvements that we've made.
Thanks, Brian. So here I am. I'm in Visual Studio. I'm coding. I'm in the zone. And I get an interruption from Brian. He has a high priority change request for that My Events web app that he wants me to focus on right away. Well, in the past, that type of interruption would have been a big productivity hit for me because I'd have to switch context. But with Visual Studio 2012, I now have the opportunity to take advantage of the suspend and shelve capabilities. And what this will do is it will take all these code changes I've made, all the various files that I have opened, all of the breakpoints, if I have multiple monitors with windows all over the place, it'll package them up and put them on Team Foundation server. When I'm done doing this change request for Brian, I can then just have Visual Studio resume it all to that environment I was in before the change was made. Isn't that cool? Great. So now I can focus on that change request for Brian. So I'm just going to add it into my in-progress work. This will ensure that any changes that I make will get associated back with this work item. I'm going to go and get the file where I need to make those feature changes. And I'm going to scroll through to find where is the appropriate place within my code to make the changes. Keep on looking. And I have to admit, I never can complain when making a feature change is as easy as uncommenting some code. So I'm going to go ahead now and build my project. I've got that feature change. And when the build is finished, what you'll see is I've set up for automatic unit testing. So that will ensure that the code is high quality when it's complete. This is another big investment area of Visual Studio 2012, where we've integrated quality throughout the process to ensure that it's not just the testers who are focused on quality. So you'll see now that those unit tests are running. With Visual Studio 2012, we now support third-party unit testing frameworks. So if you like XUnit or InUnit, you can use all of those right within the familiar environment of Visual Studio. So these unit tests will continue to run in the background, but as I do, I'm now going to move forward to another feature that helps you ensure the quality of your code called code review. This allows me to reach out to other developers on my team to provide feedback on my code. I can select a reviewer or several reviewers, provide some specific questions of area on the code to look at. But the best thing about this is code review is all stored in Team Foundation server, so there's complete traceability. If anyone wants to know if there's a senior developer who has signed off on the code before I checked it in, that we all now know because it's visible in Team Foundation server. So now I'm going to move forward and just check in my code. And I've set up continuous integration, so a new version of that site will be published on a staging server. And now I can go to the last stage in the process, which I want to reach back out to Brian to show him the feature changes that I've made to ensure that they align with his requirements. So I'm coming back into Web Access. I'm going to request feedback. I can choose Brian or a variety of other stakeholders to give feedback. I'm going to point him to where I have that site is available for him to provide feedback. I can also put a set of questions or areas for him to focus his feedback. So I may want to say, does the event dates column, if I could look right. So that's going to kick off a mail that I'm going to send directly to Brian. And then Brian will be able to start a feedback session.
Great. Thank you, Nicole. All right, so I see I've gotten mail from Nicole, and she wants me to take a look at this. That's pretty awesome. I'm going to get to give some feedback. So I can just quickly click this Start My Feedback Session link, and I see here the app she wants me to give feedback on. It's a nice link, so let me launch the app and any instructions that she's given me. All right, great. Hey, look, I see the app. I've got my nice dates column, but you know, now that I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, did I mention to her that we were going to use this app globally? And I see those are US dates formats, but I might have forgotten to mention that we need to have those dates work in the various regions. So, you know, let me just grab a quick screenshot here. And, you know, I want to annotate that screenshot. So I just pull it up real quick in Paint, you know, highlight the date, save that. The screenshot, you notice, is automatically updated. And I just say, you know, did we, see if I can type. And did we think about international dates? But, you know, other than that, it's looking good. It's exactly what I want. So I'm going to give her a 4 stars on that and save that, give it back to her, and let her take it back.
Thanks, Brian. So now I'm going to come back into Web Access. I'm going to refresh my page. You can see that I now have a new feedback response. I can go in here, and I can see that specific response from Brian. I can see that screen capture along with information or his feedback related to international dates. Now I'd likely assign this to the appropriate developer to make those changes. And what's great is that developer will have access directly to Brian's feedback. So any changes he makes will ensure that it takes into account what Brian has suggested. So what we've been able to show with you in this demo is how we've been able to ensure quality throughout the development cycle, taking advantage of capabilities like unit testing and code review. Quality is not just the job of testers. In addition, we've continued to gather feedback from our stakeholder to ensure now what we've built actually aligns with the requirements.
Thank you, Nicole. Again, I feel super connected. Oh, thank you. So I saw what you were going to build. I saw how you were going to build it. I saw you build it. I'm super happy. Now it's time to get that in our customers' hands. So again, this cycle is not complete until we actually get this out there and begin getting feedback from the people who are actually using it day to day. So what are the friction points in that? Well, first is deployment itself. How many of you have dealt with, you know, IT deployment policies that take weeks or months to get apps deployed into production? Like, we've got to do away with that. We've got to make deployment just a part of development. It's got to be a natural part. Hey, I check in, I do a build, and boom, I get that thing deployed out effortlessly within hours. Next is, hey, issues happen in production. There will be bugs, there will be problems, but, you know, what's sort of the defining characteristic of production? They're dang hard to track down. First of all, they're usually your hardest bugs. They're the hardest to reproduce. And no ops person is going to let you into the production environment to start poking around. So that makes them the most difficult to diagnose. And yet they're also the most important. You need to fix them quick. So what if we could make that a lot easier? So again, I'm going to turn it over to Nicole while she's drinking water and have her show us some great stuff that we've done in Visual Studio 2012 to address those issues.
Thanks. We want to involve them early and often in the development cycle so that we ensure that we don't have problems when we push or deploy into production. With Team Foundation Server, you can take advantage of the continuous integration, continuous deployment capabilities so that you can deploy to a variety of different environments. And so here in my build definitions, you can see how I've set up different environments, staging environments, testing environments, even production environments. In my development team, we can work really closely with our operations team to ensure that we define a set of repeatable processes for these continuous deployment scenarios. So now I've highlighted one way that we connect better with our operations team, but we also need to make sure that our operations team is providing feedback back to the development team. As Brian already highlighted, it's really critical when issues happen in production. It's very hard for development teams to be able to reproduce those issues in a development environment, and therefore it's almost impossible to troubleshoot. Well, with Visual Studio 2012, we now support IntelliTrace in production, which lets us focus on these types of problems. So let me show you an example of how we do that. So here's our My Events webpage. It's now in production, customers are hitting the site, and now we're starting to get feedback that they're hitting errors. Now, this is really bad, and I have a feeling operations is not going to let me install Visual Studio in the production environment and start debugging. But now, with Visual Studio 2012, I can provide the operations team with IntelliTrace collectors so they can now run some very basic PowerShell commands to collect some rich data and then get it back to the development team to then start debugging. In the fall, with the System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 release, we'll be able to automate this entire process right through within the Operations Manager console. So let me show you. I'd get this file back from the operations team. It's an IntelliTrace file. I can open it up, and it opens up right within Visual Studio. And now I've got a rich set of information to start trying to diagnose this problem. I can see exception data. I can see the web requests. I can even scroll down until I see the error that occurred and get the call right before to start requesting details. Now I'm going to scroll through the list of events, and I can see a bunch of exceptions. And if I click on this right, I can see that this exception has a null statement. So now I want to start debugging. And now this is really cool, because even though I have no direct network connection into the production environment, it's as if I'm debugging live on my own machine, and I know this issue happened hours ago in production. What you see on the right-hand side is a history of the events that happened before and after that error that were collected by IntelliTrace. I see IntelliTrace exceptions. I see ADO.NET calls. And the rest of the view is like a local debugging session right within Visual Studio. So I see variables, I see the call stacks, I even see the line of code that caused that exception. I could come in here and I could rewind to see maybe how that null value was set. But right now I'm not going to do the full debugging session, but you can get a clear understanding of all that rich data that I have at my fingertips to get to the root cause of that problem to get a fix back out to production quickly. So what we've been able to show in this demo is how we've been able to continuously involve the operations team in the development cycle. We've taken advantage of the continuous integration and continuous deployment capabilities of Team Foundation Server so we don't run into problems as we deploy into production. In addition, we've used IntelliTrace to be able to diagnose and resolve problems that happen in production so that we can get fixes out quickly.
All right. Thanks again, Nicole. That was awesome. Thank you. So as you can see, we focused very hard on trying to help you get through that cycle of innovation as rapidly as possible. And the truth is, you know, we've barely begun to scratch the surface here. As Soma said at the beginning, there's no way in one keynote we can do justice to the full breadth of new capabilities we've built in Visual Studio 2012. The life cycle is an involved and complex process that involves a broad array of people and a broad array of activities. But Visual Studio provides you a complete solution that can be customized to your development process. And further, it applies to all the kinds of development that you might be doing, whether you're doing Windows desktop development or device development or server development or web development or even building applications for other operating systems or platforms. It's a complete solution that enables you to handle all aspects of your development process. So if you walk away from this with sort of three key points that I want you to have. First is things are changing. Things are always changing, but they're just changing faster and faster. You're being asked to create richer, more interactive, and more connected applications than ever before, and you're being asked to deliver them faster and more responsively than ever before. Second, those applications, you know, Jason showed you some very cool examples of the kinds of rich applications you're going to be expected to build, and you need to be thinking hard about those experiences, and Visual Studio provides a great tool for doing that. Third, Nicole demoed for you some of the new capabilities in our application lifecycle management that's going to allow you to do that, to build those applications, respond quickly to customer feedback, and make sure you're building applications that people love. And Visual Studio is the best tool there is for accomplishing all of these things. So I invite you to get started today. Visual Studio is available now. You can go to visualstudio.com and try it out. But this is just the beginning. As Soma said, we've committed to produce a stream of value, a continuous stream of value that you can take advantage of. Today, we are also releasing the Team Foundation Server Power Tools. Within the next few weeks, we'll be releasing the Productivity Power Tools for Visual Studio 2012. And by the end of the year, we'll be delivering our first update to Visual Studio. So this is just the beginning. Expect more great things to be delivered continuously. And lastly, check out Team Foundation Preview. It's a super easy way to get started with our ALM solution and try it out. Low friction, get started in just a few seconds. And if you like it, you can continue to use it online or you can use Team Foundation Server on premises. So I want to thank you all for coming today. I really enjoyed chatting with you and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.
Install over 300 installations, basically wind, but we also have a hydro, photovoltaic, thermosolar, and biomass. We produce clean energy for over 6 million homes during year 2011. Right now we are in Amaraleya, one of the biggest photovoltaic plants in the world.
Amaraleya solar plant encompasses 600 acres, and each of the 2,500 servers covers 140 square meters. Any two remote points within the power station are approximately 3 kilometers apart. To put it in perspective, a worker would travel about 40 kilometers if they were to drive around the exterior of the plant's transformer centers.
The plant operates 365 days a year. So we have to be real careful of knowing the plant behavior in every single monitor. Working in real time means that you cannot lose control of any single tracker during the day. So the main IT problem is we collect all that information and put it into a single point in a graphical way so the operators can get that information.
For the control room, we have a rich Windows Presentation Foundation on-premise client running on a robust Windows Communication Foundation Services platform. Right now, we are focused on developing a Windows 8 tablet app so that the plant operators can have all the information they need directly in the field without needing to call or go to the control room. By using cloud services, we can provide all the information they need at any given time and wherever they may be.
We use Microsoft Visual Studio. We've been using .NET for the latest years. And we basically have all our platform is a Microsoft base from the operating systems to the development tools.
With Team Foundation Server and with the adoption of an agile methodology during development, we have experienced a significant qualitative and quantitative leap in our projects. This provides greater control of external developments and the ability to manage internal development teams more efficiently. We have a more precise overview of our projects at any given time, allowing our clients better quality products in shorter periods of time.